Imagine a world perfectly split between eternal day and perpetual night, divided by a massive crystalline wall that stretches impossibly high into the atmosphere. Here, when dragons die, their bodies undergo a mystical transformation, calcifying into crystalline forms that rise into the sky as moons. These dragon moons hang in delicate balance until, occasionally, they fall back to Earth in catastrophic collisions that reshape entire continents. This is the breathtaking universe of When the Moon Hatched, where five creator deities shaped reality with elemental forces, and three species of magnificent dragons, fierce saber scythes, colorful molten maws, and ethereal moon plumes rule the skies. What happens when a woman with no memory discovers she literally fell from the sky, hatching from a calcified dragon moon? What if her forgotten past holds the key to preventing the next devastating moonfall? This tale of identity, love, and cosmic balance unfolds across three kingdoms ruled by three royal brothers, each with radically different visions of governance. The world teeters on the edge of revolution as ancient prophecies collide with political ambitions, and a woman known only as an assassin must piece together who she truly is before another moon begins its deadly descent. In the Fade Kingdom, Kemori Daffodon lives a double life as Reef, a feared assassin for the rebellious Fior Duath, from the Ashes. She executes target Tarek Relikan, who enslaved Null children for fighting pits, carving a code into his chest and taking his hand to free his captives. King Kadok Vigor's society divides those with elemental magic from oppressed Nulls. Reeve operates from shadows, using her connection to elemental goddesses for her kills. She shares a hidden den with Essie, a woman she rescued, but maintains emotional distance, believing, "The folk I care about die." Her handler, Serene, controls her through a painful rune. When Essie is murdered as bait, Reeve surrenders to the Other, her darker side, before being captured and sentenced to death. At her execution, a blood-colored saber-scythe dragon rescues her. Her savior, Khan Vagor, King of the Burn, reveals he believes Reeve is Eluin Reeve Nevin, who hatched from a moonplume dragon's calcified remains. The world's political landscape mirrors its divided geography, with three brothers ruling vastly different realms. Kaon, the eldest, governs the Burn from Golden Solaria with wisdom, fostering trade and scholarship through libraries and universities that attract minds from afar. Kadok rules the Fade through military strength. From Steelhaven, his black-armored Iron Legion patrols with mechanical precision. Despite public executions, his efficient protection against threats has earned a strange loyalty. Tyroth controls the Shade with calculated cruelty from Nighthaven's obsidian towers. His Whisper Guild uncovers all secrets, while his court operates as a deadly game of shifting favor. Their father, King Ostern, arranged political marriages for power, most controversially attempting to force Eluin, an Arithian scholar princess, to marry Tyroth despite her love for Kaon. The realm's stability now crumbles with one discovery. Kaizari, raised as Tyroth's daughter, is actually Kaon and Eluin's secret child. This revelation threatens both family bonds and the fragile peace between kingdoms. In this world, relationships are formalized through sacred binding ceremonies with the exchange of Malmer pendants, medallions forged from precious metals with ancestral magic. During a Tuka trial, Rave discovers she bears the Kolu mark, designating her to bear children who can tether the moons to the sky forever. Defying tradition, Rave demands to fight for herself in the arena, unprecedented for a Kolu. When her opponent uses forbidden blood magic, Kaon intervenes, offering his Malmer and naming her his Rosker, his Greater, inverting traditional power dynamics while preserving her autonomy. Dragons are majestic, intelligent beings, essential to ecological balance. The three species embody different elemental forces. Saber scythes with black bronze scales thriving in wastelands, molten maws with feathered plumage producing flame, and moon plumes with translucent skin that captures moonlight. The dragon-rider bond forms a deep psychological connection. When dragons die, they undergo stellar ascension, calcifying and rising to become new moons, a beautiful yet world-destabilizing phenomenon. This novel explores identity when memory fails. Rave exists in a liminal space, neither fully her present self nor the Illuin she once was. "I'm gorging on the ancient scraps of a happiness that belonged to somebody else," she reflects, struggling to reconcile her fragmented past with her present reality. When memories surface, triggered by sensory cues, they arrive as visceral sensations, a feeling like coming home or an aurora rising in my chest. These emotional echoes suggest identity persists despite memory loss. Though Rave denies her former identity, she's drawn to a cliff dwelling where she discovers evidence of her past life with Khan. Despite resistance, fragments emerge: her brother's journey, her parents' deaths, and her connection to a dragon named Slatra. The novel uses doubling to explore identity. Rave's alter ego, the Other, represents a vengeful aspect, while Princess Kaizari resembles the Firelark. Even dragons mirror their riders. The central question remains: can we truly start anew, or does our past inevitably shape us? Rave's persistent past suggests complete reinvention may be impossible. Power in this world demands sacrifice. Elemental magic requires physical connection to deities through iron rings embedded in flesh, removable for greater power but causing severe trauma. The Aetherstone diadem slowly drains its wearer's life force. Even dragonrider bonds exact terrible prices, as shown by Slatra, who was blinded following her wounded rider across the burning plains, yet remained loyal. As memories emerge, Rave realizes, "This moment is a gift we either waste or treasure." Her romance with Khan creates a sanctuary from the world, yet shadows loom, especially when Rave finds Leary, an injured moonplume tortured by her enemy, Rek Zaros. Rave's fascination with Hay's Perch, a small silver moon formed from a malformed moonplume, reveals deeper connections. Its wobbling orbit mirrors her unstable identity, creating a parallel between personal and celestial instability. The novel explores how various bindings, political, magical, emotional, simultaneously constrain and empower as Rave breaks free from oppression while forging new connections on her own terms. As the story concludes, revolutionary change looms. Three brothers ruling separate kingdoms face instability as Rave's discovery about Princess Kaizari's parentage threatens the power balance. The rebellion fights crown oppression, while Kaizari's quest to free the god Kalis from the Aetherstone could prove catastrophic. The title, When the Moon Hatched, works both literally, describing Rave's rebirth from Slatra's calcified form, and metaphorically, suggesting emerging possibilities. Like calcified dragons that might revive, the world's rigid structures appear ready for transformation. The novel ends with unresolved threads: Rave's vendetta against Rek Zaros, Kaizari's true parentage, Kalis's imprisonment, and the kingdom's political futures. Yet hope for new beginnings persists. Like the wobbling moon Hay's Perch that Rave watches nightly, we all carry imperfections through life. The story's beautiful truth is that even after catastrophic loss of memory, loved ones, or identity, new life can emerge from what remains.